Good morning.
Good morning.
As I told first service, it's been a while since I've been up here, and just what an honor it is to be asked to preach here, especially. But anytime I'm asked to fill in for someone that's not able to be in their pulpit on a Sunday morning, it's nice to be asked to fill in for them. I've preached at a lot of different churches, many of them one time. One of my, I didn't mention this at first service, but one of the most unique ones was a Pentecostal church I was asked to preach at. And I was told that they are a King James only church. So I got looking around the house and realized I didn't have a King James Bible. I mean, I've got the apps and the internets and stuff like that, but I kept looking, and I actually found my grandfather's Bible, which was King James, that was given to him when he went off to World War II. So I told the guy that I talked to about that I talked to about getting this opportunity. Actually, he owns a gun shop here in town, and so he said, "That's a neat story. You should tell the congregation that." So as I'm there, and it was full on Pentecostal, and I'm not here to judge whatsoever. I'm really not, but I got up there, and I opened up with that story of how you told me that you guys read from the King James Bible only, and I told him, I said I didn't have one at the time, and so I dug around and I found my grandfather's, you know, that was given to him when he went off to the war. By the way, did I mention I was the youngest one there? I was. And so when I said I didn't have a King James Bible, there was a sweet old lady in the front row, and she did this. And just scowled at me for the rest of the time I was on, you know, behind their pulpit. I also preached at Redbud Retirement Place, and that was fun. That was fun. I was youth pastor here, and then I was preaching at a nursing home, a retirement facility. Marianne Steinhagen, most of you know, goes here, kind of a neighbor to us. She was living there at the time, and she's the one that asked if I wanted to preach. I said, "Yeah, that'd be fun. So I went in and talked to the director, and Marianne met me there. She had a walker. Thankfully, it wasn't her cane. It might have been a different ending. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about with Marianne's cane. And so as I got done talking to the director, I saw Marianne, so I went and talked to her a little bit and told her I was going to start that upcoming Sunday. And she said, "Oh, good." And as only she could do, she said, "I didn't know you had a beard." I said, yeah, "I've had it for a while now. I don't like it. Shave it off." Well, Marianne, and it's what's interesting, I just realized this. The piano player that was from the nursing, the retirement home there, our piano player's name was, and I just realized this, was Betty White. So, kind of timing, I kind of forgot about that till just now. But it was a lot like preaching to older people, more seasoned in life, is a lot like being a youth minister trying to preach to teenagers. Half of them are sleeping. They're always talking to each other. The only difference, because they were teenagers, I could tell them to knock it off. If a cell phone rang with the teenagers, I tell them, knock it off, put that away, turn it off. With them, their cell phones ring. "Hello? No, I'm in church. No, he's preaching now." So I just wait for the conversation to be done. Cracker Barrel? Okay. Not sure when we're going to get out of here. I better make it short. He's got a party of Cracker Barrel waiting for him, and he'd hang up his phone, and we'd get back into the service. But no, it's always an honor to preach anytime, to realize that God is calling on someone like me, a nobody, just a bearded man in a stone mill, to proclaim his word to his people. I don't re-preach old sermons. I don't get asked to preach at a church and grab a real good sermon that worked really well for another congregation because you are not them and they were not you. And I feel that every opportunity I have to speak, God has a specific word for that body of believers. Even today, from first service to now, it's going to be different. And so when Byron got a hold of me and asked if I could fill in the pulpit here, they're kind of in a pickle, and they must have been in some pickle to ask me to preach here. Because Byron showed me the text of all the people he asked, and I was like number 13 or 14 on the list. But I did it. I felt really privileged to even thought of me, you know, way down there at the T's. But no, it certainly is an honor. And so when Byron asked me about this, I began to pray. I do this every time I'm asked to preach anywhere, big or small. I pray, Lord, please give me a word for this body of believers. Give me a word for this congregation. I pray that. And it's not an incantation. It's not a magic potion. It's a sincere crying out to the Lord to help me to fill the gap that I don't have naturally myself. And so I began praying, Lord, what is your word for this people? And the phrase, even though it's not necessarily in this phrase that we think of it as in Scripture, the phrase, your mercies are new every morning, kept coming to my mind. It would just repeat itself. Your mercies are new every morning. Your mercies are new every morning. But as that phrase was in my mind, I thought, okay, so I'm in the book of Lamentations where we'll be here after a minute, and I'm looking through the Scripture. I realized that there just seemed to be something more, almost a different direction that God wanted spoken today. And so I couldn't get that out of my head either. And so I struggled. Is it your mercies are new every morning, Lord, or is it going to be something else? And so Thursday night, I believe, Beth and I were watching a movie. She picked it out. I don't even know what the title was. It was a good movie. But I think I was in the kitchen. I wasn't even there watching it on TV, but I could hear it. And a small, tiny part of the movie had no significance, really, with the overall theme of the movie. But one of the characters talked about a children's book called The Missing Piece, written by Shel Silverstein. Shel Silverstein wrote The Giving Tree, Where the Sidewalk Ends, a very popular children's author. And as soon as I heard sort of the overall premise of this story, I realized that was the direction the Lord wanted me to go. Kind of combining both God's mercies being new every morning as well as searching for that missing piece. It's a short story. If you don't mind, I'm going to read it to you. I'm 48 years old now. That's not the story. I am 48 years old, and I find that I'm going to need that little line in my glasses next time I go to the eye doctor. He's going to give me two different levels of things, and I'm okay with it, I guess. The Missing Piece by Shel Silverstein. As you can see the picture, it kind of looks like a pie that's missing a piece, or a Pac-Man. It was missing a piece, and it was not happy. So it set off in search of its missing piece. And as it rolled, it sang this song. Oh, I'm looking for my missing piece. I'm looking for my missing piece. Hidey-ho, here I go, looking for my missing piece. Sometimes it baked in the sun, but then the cool rain would come down. And sometimes it was frozen by the snow, but then the sun would come and warm it again. And because it was missing a piece, it could not roll very fast. So it would stop to talk to a worm or smell a flower. And sometimes it would pass a beetle. And sometimes a beetle would pass it. And this was the best of times as a butterfly landed on him. And on it went over oceans singing, oh, I'm looking for my missing piece over land and overseas. So grease my knees and fleece my bees. I'm looking for my missing piece. Through swamps and jungles, up mountains and down mountains. Until one day, lo and behold, I found my missing piece, it sang. I found my missing piece, so grease my knees and fleece my bees. I found my, wait a minute, said the piece. Before you go greasing your knees and fleecing your bees, I am not your missing piece. I am nobody's piece. And even if I was somebody's missing piece, I don't think I'd be yours. Oh, it said sadly, I'm sorry to have bothered you. And on it rolled. It found another piece, but this was too small. And this one was too big. And this one was a little too sharp. And this one was too square. One time it seemed to have found the perfect piece, but it didn't hold it tightly enough and lost it. Another time it held too tightly and broke it. So on and on it rolled, having adventures, falling into holes and bumping into stone walls. And then one day it came upon another piece that seemed to be just right. Hi, it said. Hi, said the piece. Are you anybody else's missing piece? Not that I know of. Well, maybe you would want to be your own piece. I can be someone's and still my own piece. Well, maybe you don't want to be mine. Maybe I do. Maybe we won't fit. Well, said the piece, and humph and rumph, it fit. It fit perfectly. At last, and away it rolled. And because it was now complete, it rolled faster and faster and faster than it had ever rolled before. So fast it could not stop and talk to a worm or smell a flower. It was too fast for a butterfly to land. But it could sing its happy song. At last it could sing, I found my missing piece. And it began to sing. Our worm, my nizzle geez, of fronds of mickers and bees, so crease my knees and bleeze my trees of fron. Oh my. Now that it was complete, it could not sing at all. So it stopped rolling, and it set the piece down gently and rolled slowly away. And as it rolled, it softly sang, oh, I'm looking for my missing piece. I'm looking for my missing piece. Hidey-ho, here I go, looking for my missing piece. The end. One of the most powerful, threatening, and unfortunately all too rare things in the churches in America is a preacher who is truly honest from the pulpit, who has no inhibition on what he or she may say. Because if the Lord gives you a word, you preach what the Lord has given you to say to a group of people, big or small, one or two, three or four, 3,000. But it's a rare thing to have a preacher truly honest and vulnerable, making themselves vulnerable from the pulpit. I remember as a teenager sitting in church and the preacher would say, oh, I'm a great sinner. I'm a sinner just like everybody else by the grace of God. And he would talk about how he's tempted by sin. I'd sit in that pew and think, yeah, right. Yeah, you really got it rough, preacher, man. You're not as bad as I am. You're not tempted like me. You don't understand me. And the Lord in his sense of humor put me in the pulpit. And I would say things, generally speaking, oh, I'm a great sinner. I'm tempted just like everybody else. And there were skeptics in the crowd then, as there should have been. It said, right. You aren't tempted like me. You have no idea what I'm going through. But when the preacher gets specific about their own vulnerabilities and their own shortcomings, it becomes very real and honest with the people they are talking to, it is the most powerful thing. So I want to get real honest with you right now. I prayed for a word of the Lord for you. And the word I received is for me. I do not do what I'm going to challenge all of us to do here at the end of this message. I don't do it, okay? I want to. But just like we're going to talk about here in a minute, I don't. So hopefully, by the end of our time together, we're going to be encouraged to find this opportunity to quit looking for our missing piece, because I think we've already found it. What do you think your missing piece is? What's that thing that wakes you up in the morning and it's the first thing you do, or first thing you begin to do? Is it a new job? Is it a better paying job? Is it a better marriage? Is it a different partner in your marriage? Is it more likes and comments on your social media feeds? And is it to be the center of attention in every room that you enter? Is it to become more popular? More money? Is it alcohol? Is it an addiction to a chemical, to a substance that's got you, and you just don't think it can ever let you go? What's that missing piece that you're rolling around looking for that has you consumed and has you distracted? I find myself and others running this chaotic race to try and attain a missing piece that we think we need. And I can't help but see God reaching his hand down from heaven as we're going from here to there, distracted by everything around us. The first thing we do in the morning is grab our phones, check Facebook, check Instagram, check Twitter, check ChatSnap, whatever it is, you're checking your stuff on your phone. You've got Fox News in the background. You've got MSNBC in the background getting your daily morning propaganda. You have all these distractions going on that are self-induced. By the way, I told you this is for me, right? But they're self-induced. Don't say you're busy getting the kids off to school. You got plenty of time to turn those TVs off before they get up. Put your phone down before they get up. I can't help but think in this rat race that we find ourselves in, individually, not even corporately, but individually. I can't help but feel that God just reaches down his hand, puts it on our shoulder firmly yet lovingly. And as we look up to him, he takes his other hand and brings it to his face, and with one finger puts it against his lip and just says, "Shh, stop, just stop. Turn that off. Put that down. Don't look at that. Don't listen to that. Just stop. Be still and shut up. I've got something to say, but I'm a gentleman, and I will not speak over Facebook. I will allow you to check your news feeds. I'll allow you to listen to Fox News or MSNBC." I think God is just telling his people, stop. Shh. I told you that phrase that first came to my mind was, "His mercies are new every morning." In Lamentations chapter 3 is where we find this. We're going to be in Lamentations chapter 3. We're going to be in verses 16 through 31. I would like to read them to you. Lamentations 3, beginning with verse 16. I'm reading from the ESV version. "He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give the cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever. I don't preach. When I realized that today was the day after New Year's, I thought, well, I just preach a New Year's sermon. But I thought, no way. It would be pointless, really. I mean, how many of us have already broken our New Year's resolution from whatever night ago it was? Resolutions on New Year's are just half-hearted attempts to quit a habit that deep down we are not ready to quit. They're not continuous. But something that is continuous and something that you can take to the bank, something that will never stop, is every morning, and it happened this morning, every single morning you are given on this earth when you wake up, God's steadfast love never ends. And his mercies, the moment you wake up, are brand new for that day. So instead of a New Year's resolution, I think it's more important to focus on every single day on its own. And I'm going to give us a little time to prepare for this, because today has already begun. And if you want to start this today, great. But if not, the commitment I want to make for you and for myself is that tomorrow morning, this is what we do. You see, it's difficult to take God's mercies and accept God's mercies and plan for us with all the noise, with all the distractions. And I'm even talking about worship music. No offense. I'm talking about devotionals or Bible things on your phone. I'm talking about legitimate silence here. Stillness. So the challenge is this. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, let the first thing you do be to sit silently, quietly, in the presence of God. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. Just sit quietly in the presence of God. And for those moments, however long it's going to be, it could be 15 seconds, 30 seconds, it could be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I don't know. But just sit in his presence. And as you sit quietly, not being distracted by all the things around you, not being distracted by that missing piece that you keep searching for, but you realize that God is your sustenance, God is your portion. And as you sit there in the quiet and the stillness, realize that God is sending down those mercies and his steadfast love to you in that silence. The scripture said it's good that someone will wait silently for the Lord. When you read the Old Testament, don't read it too fast. Don't miss what's in the Old Testament. Because this God of grace and love and peace from the New Testament that we like to preach about so much is the same God in the Old Testament. If you don't believe me, read Ezekiel chapter 18. And so this God of peace, and this God of love, and this God of grace is trying to get our attention. And there's this line here in verse 29 that talks about that it's good for him to lower his head to the dirt, for there yet may yet be hope. If you've ever seen on some of the TV shows or on the internet, a person, they call them whisperers, a person who can somehow communicate with animals, maybe horses, the horse whisperer, the dog whisperer, they got a cat whisperer, but there's no point there. I apologize for that. I wasn't in the first service. I have a cat. But there's a part in this scripture that talks about laying your head so low it touches the ground because there may yet be hope. If you see someone working with a large animal like a horse who's just come straight out of the prairies, who's wild, who's unbroke, who's untamed, and you watch a person who's smart and can communicate with that animal, they let that animal run its course. They let it get all of its energy and frustration and its control out of it. And that person will just stand there and wait, and they're looking for a few things. And as that horse bucks and rears and throws its head and paws at the dirt, The trainer will notice something. He'll notice that animal stop. Sometimes the animal will turn and face that person. Then that animal begins to maybe snort, kind of let out a breath. They'll begin to lick their lips, pronounced. You'll see it's very obvious to begin to lick their lips. And the trainer's watching for the next step. The horse may stop and realize what's going on and rear back up and start bucking and throwing dirt and throwing its head. And it comes back down to a moment of stillness. Licks his lips, snorts. And the trainer's waiting quietly and patiently for that horse to lower its head down into the dirt. Because when that horse lowers its head down into the dirt and snorts and dust blows from its nostrils, the trainer knows that horse has come to a point of submission, that he is putting the trust of himself into the hands of the trainer. That is what God is wanting all of us to do. God can't use us effectively if we refuse to submit to him. Our challenge is that tomorrow morning, we will begin the day in submitting in silence to receive the presence of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, to receive his mercies, which are new tomorrow. The mercies we receive today are not the same ones we'll receive tomorrow, because tomorrow is not today. I think it's pretty plain and obvious right now that our society is in shambles. We're in this ravenous state of anger and rage towards anyone who disagrees with us. Remember back in the day when you disagreed with someone and you were cool? They were cool? You didn't let it get you so upset and angry? I'm 48. I have never seen such anger and bitterness and just sheer ugliness as I am seeing right now and have seen for the last couple of years. And I am pointing the finger at Christians. It breaks my heart to be on that stupid Facebook and scrolling through and seeing Christians, the way the things they're sharing and promoting, the way they're talking about other Christians, maybe not by name, but by their stance. They wear masks, they're this way. They don't wear masks, they're that way. Vaccinations, no vaccinations. Left, right. We put our stakes in the ground and we refuse to have even a friendship with someone because we're too worried to defend ourselves and our thought process. Christians are just as much to blame in this. We need to knock it off. How in the world can we witness to a lost and dying world if we behave just like them? What are we winning them to? What are we trying to get them to convert to? How are we any different? I told you this sermon is for me as much as it is for you. But folks, tomorrow morning will be a brand new day. Tomorrow morning is going to be a brand new day. And the moment you wake up, don't just leave your phone where it is. Don't turn the TV on. Go somewhere. If you have to use the restroom, just use the restroom quick. Go somewhere and just sit. Don't even turn the lights on. Just sit. Quietly. Shh. In the presence of God to receive those mercies that are new that very moment. God has mercies for you. His steadfast love will never end. But God is a gentleman. And you'll keep them and hang on to them until you put the distractions down. Start being nice to people. For crying out loud, be nice to people. This has gone way too far. Don't try to spend your life looking for that missing piece you think you have. If you've made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you found that missing piece that everyone's looking for. If you have Jesus Christ in your life, there's no reason to look because he is your portion. That empty spot is filled. Some of you here, I know a fair amount of you, but I don't know all of you. Some of you here may have never filled that empty space in your life with Jesus. And you are not saved. I heard a preacher talk about how this Caitlyn Jenner said that she hopes God lets her into heaven. And the preacher, well, no, I actually respect this preacher a lot. He said, oh, he absolutely will. On one condition. And I thought, wow, yes, that's it. It's Jesus. It's always only Jesus. If you have not filled that emptiness inside of you with Jesus, with a personal relationship in Him, submitting to Him for the first time in your life, I'm going to be sitting right over here. You know, it's interesting. I was doing the Bible stories at South Union Christian Church where we attend during our vacation Bible school. We had one of the classes in there, the older classes, fourth and fifth grade maybe, and they were in there, and I began to talk about, because it was the Thursday night where we kind of tried to make it a little more serious, talk about the plan of salvation, introduce some of these children to that story. And as I'm going through the story, I was running out of time like I already did today, second time in a row. And I was trying to speed it up, this plan of salvation of these children. And I said, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And as you know, He rose from the grave 3 days later. And I just kind of skipped over that part. And a girl in the front row, her jaw dropped. And she said, what? He's alive? She had never heard it. And how dare I speed that up? So I don't care how much overtime I may be today or next Sunday or whenever. I will always preach the plan of salvation. If anyone here has not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, repented of their sins, put their faith in Him, been baptized into His name, I'm going to sit right here. Byron's right there. There may be someone else you want to talk to. By the way, folks, we're not guaranteed tomorrow morning. Okay, we're not. If these last couple of years have shown us anything, we're not guaranteed anything. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to quit looking for that missing piece, because Jesus is that missing piece. If you have Him, you have your portion. If you don't, you need Him.